Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
If you were God, before anything else ever existed, there's you. If you could imagine and you could create and make the universe or the world or all that we know and don't know to be what you desired for it to be, what would it be like? That's exactly what the Creator of all things has done. And you and I, we worship Him, and at Portland Pentecostals, we believe that there is one God who is above all and through all and in you all, that is working with us and that is working on our behalf. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 10 and 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." When the Apostle Paul speaks about spiritual warfare, the first weapon or the first line of defense or the first offensive move that we can commit is to cast down imaginations. Casting down imaginations. And that's what I want to preach to you today. Please be seated. Thank you for standing in honor of the Word of God and worshiping the King of Kings. Imagination is the act or power of crafting a mental image of what never has been experienced. Therefore, imaginations are unreal, dreamed up, and have not actually been experienced. Most imaginations are lies. Now, they may not be malicious lies, intentionally created to cause damage, but if we imagine that we are something that we are not, and we never become that something we are not, then it was a deception or a lie. I think most little boys want to be Superman or Batman or something like that, or Captain America. I remember playing that, and it's amazing that still the 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 year old boys are Batman. I was Batman. I don't know how they can be Batman when I'm Batman. But that's just my imagination. That's just something that I created up here in that unreal world. One imaginative man said he didn't like going to football games because they huddle and talk about me between plays. Imagination is Disney. It's theme parks, science fiction books, what never has been and what may never be. The result of imagination, some of the positive ones are peanut butter, airlines, cell phones, microwave ovens, knee replacements, FaceTime, and most importantly of all, ice cream. Imagination is also defined as the act or power of producing images in the mind of things not actually present to the senses. We have all used our imagination. We have created something that is not, and maybe even inserted ourselves into that something and lived in an imaginative place. That's why we enjoy some books or movies, is because they take us to a place we have never been and may never be, but wished we could be. Hebrews 11 and 3 says, "By faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible." That is creative imagination. But God's creative imagination became creative reality. Genesis 1 and 31, God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. God does things that are good. No, he does things that are very good. What God imagines becomes. It's right, it's just, and it is best for all. All was well for some period of time because God said it was very good until Satan entered the picture. But I want us to just flash back and review what Satan's past was like. He was the guy that daydreamed in class. No, he was worse than that. He was the angel, a leading angel that the Bible leads us to believe was in charge of the worship of the Most High God, and he let his imagination run away with him. He was beautiful. He had lived in the presence of God, but he said, I will exalt my throne above his throne, and I will sit on the mount of the congregation, and I will be like the Most High God, and I will be worshipped. But these were Satan's imaginations. His imaginations would never come to pass. Satan's imaginations were lies contrived in his own mind. These were imaginations that would end in failure. Now you and I know that there is power in the way that we think. That all of our actions begin right here in our imagination. We see something and imagine that we can do it. I was watching little Jet this morning as he was standing by the chair. And every once in a while he'd reach out with his hand toward his little cousin and let go just a little bit and then grab on. And somehow in his mind he's imagining that he can do what you and I are doing. Because we make it look easy, most of it, until we get to a certain age, and then it doesn't look easy at all. But it looks easy. It's because he sees you and I walking about and jumping and moving, and probably he's watching his sibling and his little cousins and the other little kids in the church and the neighborhood, and he's thinking, I can do what they are now doing. I would say to you and I as we enter 2020 that we better be careful who we're watching so that what and who we are watching will determine what we imagine that we can do. I am looking at a world that is in confusion. Yes, there are wars and rumors of war. There are negative things that are happening. There's bombings. There's fightings. There's crime. But I want to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus. I want my attention fixed on what his word says about what my life can be. I will never forget the first time that we went as a family to Disneyland, and I can remember riding in a particular ride, and I can't remember what the name of it is, but as you sat in the car, it was very mild. It wasn't one of those high adrenaline rides, but as you shifted around the corner, you saw what looked like a window, but it was a mirror. And when you saw yourself, it wasn't just you and the other individuals sitting in the car. There was this ghostly figure sitting in the car with you, and it was like, almost real, like you could feel it, like they really looked like they were sitting in that chair with you. And Satan, remember, he failed at his imaginations. I will be like the Most High God. There are people that will tell you that you can or cannot do the things they did or did not do or imagined they did or did not do. They're not even telling the truth. But Satan's imaginations ended in failure. And God said through the prophet Isaiah in 14 and 15, yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. And so Satan, who never realized his own imaginations, would now use that same deception to create imaginations in the mind of Adam and Eve, of what they could do or could be or where they could go. The tool of the human imagination was used in the first temptation in the Garden of Eden. He said, your eyes will be open. She could only imagine the state of knowing what was right and wrong, what is right and what is wrong. God did not create us to bear the burden of what is right and wrong. He created us to obey Him, and it was up to Him what was right and wrong. He said, "You will be as gods." That's an imagination, something that never would be, never could happen. You will know good from evil. How would that feel? It had never happened before. He was planting imaginations in her mind, in his mind later. The tree is good for food. And she looked at it and said, it would be good for food, but she had never eaten it. But she was comparing with something else, obviously. And by that comparison, imagining that that fruit also would be good. And it said, it will make you wise. But that would never happen. She would become knowledgeable, but she would never become wise because of her eating of the fruit. Once the imagination was set in the wrong direction, the power for destruction was seemingly endless in the hands of the enemy. Adam and Eve lost the good that God had imagined and created and brought into existence for them. And so Cain's imagination also went in the negative area. When his sacrifice was not accepted, he imagined that the problem was his brother, not him and God. And so he inserted his imagination into the situation, and God tried to talk him out of it and said, no, if you'll just do what's right, Cain, it'll be all right between you and me. And if you don't do what's right, you'll just get more angry at your brother, and sin lies at the door. But he wouldn't capture his imagination. He wouldn't rein in that imagination and subject it to the word of God. And because he didn't, he did commit murder upon his brother. And he never could have imagined what would have happened to him, because then God excommunicated him from the general area of his family. And he went into the land of Nod. And that word Nod literally means wandering. He became a fugitive for the rest of his life. He thought killing his brother would solve the problem between him and God, but no, it would worsen it. So imaginations can cause division, create false accusations and feeling of inferiority, and even start wars. And just 10 generations after Adam and Eve left the Garden of Eden, we read in 6 and 5 of Genesis, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It just degenerated. Let go and following in the wrong direction. It's a horror story. It's a horror movie. And oh, their imaginations were captivated, and eventually their imaginations were fulfilled. They thought it would be good, but instead it became bad. It's like thinking you're the hero and you're the little boy on the bike and you're going to jump the ditch with your bike, but you don't quite make it, and that hurts. It's like thinking that you're going to rescue somebody who really doesn't want to change the way they're living, and you try to insert yourself into their life, and they're not willing to let the Word of God speak into their life, but you think you're more powerful than the Word of God. I know that's not quite the way we think about it, but that's the reality. If God can't save them, then surely I can't save them. If God can't fix their problems, then surely I can't fix their problems. And so God was filled with sorrow and purpose to destroy mankind. It was a whole of society that was beyond redemption. And so he said, I will destroy the earth. But he found one man that had a great imagination. Noah. And the imagination didn't come from within himself. But God found Noah, and Noah was a righteous man. And he said, Noah, I'm going to destroy the earth, but I want to save you. Noah was willing to build an ark. He could imagine building this box that would float, that never had been done before, that would become salvation for him, for his family, and for the whole human race. And so he let the word of God dictate his imagination, and what was negative and catastrophic for mankind as a whole became positive and redemptive in Noah's life. And I hope that by the time we leave this house today, that you and I will be in a place where we cease to follow the imaginations of this world. We refuse to allow the enemy of our soul to plant wicked and divisive imaginations in our heart. And we will allow what the Word of God has said to plant imaginations in our heart and spirit that will take us to redemption and be redemptive in the lives of others.
Amen. Amen.
Proverbs 6 and 18 says, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and running to mischief. Paul described his generation in chapter number 1 of Romans in verse number 21. They says, they became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. But my message shifts now, and enough with the negative and enough with the depression and saying, ooh, that's bad, that's not good. It's not going to turn out good, to say that we can read again what the Word of the Lord says. And we must refuse to walk in the path of Satan. We must resist the imaginations of Cain that make it about others and God. It's got to be about us and God, about you and God. God, about that intimate personal relationship with God. And you can realize others may not follow him, but I will. Others may not receive a reward, but I am. Others may not be healed, but I serve a healer. Others may wander and only become their own provider, but I serve the provider of all things. Because I will submit to his word. We read again 2 Corinthians 10 and 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. It's not about this body. It's about what happens up here. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. In other words, I'm going to look at what the Word of God says about me and my relationship with Him. I'm going to look at what the Word of God says about Him and His relationship with mankind as a whole or as the church. And any imagination that doesn't fit under the Word of God, I'm going to reject it.
Amen.
And I'm going to subject it to obedience. Obedience to the Word of God. There are two very important phrases in this scripture. Casting down and pulling down. We cannot pull down strongholds until we cast down the imaginations. Anything that does not align with God's plan for you must be cast down. You've got to push it out. You're not going to wake up absolutely every morning as a born-again believer and automatically have just the perfect thoughts that God wants you to have. You're going to have to pray those perfect thoughts into existence. You're going to have to read the Word of God and get those thoughts into existence. Because the flesh is at war with God. It's at enmity with God. So we got to look at God's war plan. We got to look at His book and see what His plan is for us and begin to imagine what He has declared. For the Bible says, He sees the things that are not as though they already are. Why? Because God lives in the world of eternity. And you and I are very small. Our world is about as big as this vessel. And we live in this little world. And we can only see what's going on here. And God stands here. And He sees everything before. And He sees everything after. And so He sees the things that are going to be in your life as though they already are. Because He's already been there. And He's already there.
Amen.
And if you and I can submit to Him and believe Him and imagine that His Word is true. No, accept that His Word is true. And when His Word says we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us and gave His life for us, that doesn't mean we're going to be, but we are. I may not see myself that way, but His Word declares it. If I can only imagine it. If I can wrap my mind around the Word of God, the Amplified Version puts it this way: inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. That's why we read the Word of God daily. It's because we take every thought, every possibility, every imagination that swirls around in our brain and says, how does that fit with this? Not how does this fit with that? We don't try to make the Word of God conform to our thoughts, but we conform our thoughts to the Word of God. That's why you are sitting here free from addiction, free from fear, free from sin, free from pain, because you said, the Word of God says, if I will surrender to Him, He will give me freedom, true freedom. And so thus we have true freedom. Oh. Isaiah put it this way in verse 13 of chapter 43. Indeed, before the day was, I am He, and there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who will reverse it? That's a rhetorical question. A rhetorical question is a question that has an obvious answer. Who will stop me? God says, want some? There's nobody that can stop God. If God's intention is to do good in your life, if you will surrender it, no force that is present, no force that is past, no force that is yet to come, no force that is seen or unseen can defy the will and the purpose of God in your mind. That's good news, folks. I can imagine that. And oh, if you can imagine that, once you imagine that, then other things that God wants to do, you can imagine even more. And I'm going to get real carnal here for a minute. Disneyland. You start with seeing that apparition in your cart. And then you get down and around the corner and something reaches out and claws your face. Not claws your face, but it touches you. And there's sensations that are presented to you throughout the ride. And because of what you initially saw that was unexpected, then you're on edge. And then other things become even more expected. And it's almost like your imagination runs away with you. And things that are not become as though they really are. I remember sitting in this auditorium. And one of the scenes that somebody sneezed all over my face. Because the seat in front of me had that spray thing, is that when the character on the screen sneezed, it went, and everybody's going, oh. I can remember the screams and the squeals when the mice were let go on the screen, and there was these little shocks that came out of down below the seat, and you're going, ah! And the things that were not became real. Why? Because your imagination was going on this trip. And once you start down that line, that's why we ended up in sin and despair. But that is also why we who have followed God and committed our life to obeying His Word and submitting to His Word after weeks and months and years, say when the enemy comes and says, you're dead, we say, no, I'm alive, and you're condemned to eternal darkness. When He says, you're going to fall, you say, no, I am more than a conqueror through Him that loved me and gave His life for me. Why? Because the Word of God says so. No wonder Paul said, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So I'm just going to run through some things really fast, and I don't know exactly which scriptures I will read, and you're going to have to take my word for it. And if you want, you can ask me, and I will email you a PDF of my notes. In fact, I might just put it on the line before the end of service. So if you go onto the podcast, you can then download a full set of my notes, and you can see what we preached about. But the reality is that nothing can separate us from the love of God. We alluded to Romans chapter chapter 8 and verse 37. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave his life for us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, angels nor principalities, powers nor things present or things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why? Because we cast down the imagination and said, you're captured by the word of God and you can't move outside of the boundary that God's word has set, because I'm submitted to the word. And when I'm submitted to the word, that the word is working in my life, and it's not about my power, it's not about my holiness, it's not about my strength. That's why the apostle stood after the man was healed and said, don't look at us as though by our power or holiness this man stands before you whole. It's the name of Jesus that brings the victory. That's the reality. There is no other name. So pull down the stronghold with the word. Get into the word. That's why we gave you the 20 days of preparation that are here. And if you didn't get one, you can pick one up on the way out, and you can start today if you want, or tomorrow. And you can read the word of God and pray the word of God. I don't just read the word of God. I said, Satan, you hear me? And God, I declare, nothing is going to separate me from you. Not principality. Not powers. I loose the word of God to work in my life. I loose the authority of the word of God in my life. And you'll be surprised at what will swell in your bosom. And then your imagination will not be about condemnation and fear and tragedy, but it will be about triumph and victory and glorious end. The imaginations will tell you that you are incapable of doing what you have been called to do by God. But the word of God says in Philippians 4 and 11, not that I speak in regard of need, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am in to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to hungry, both to be abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hold down the stronghold of I can't with the I can of the word of God, and subject that thought to the word of God. But it talks about bringing it into captivity. You just got to rein it in. It's like sitting in the doctor's office and he's about to do a procedure that you never had done before, and you're thinking, I wonder what's this like? Or you've even been on the internet and self-diagnosed yourself. And you see what it is like, and you're really crazy, and you've watched the YouTube of the operation. You did, huh? Didn't you, Brother Tony? I was with Sister Connie Scott several years ago, and she was having her gallbladder removed, and she'd worked in the medical field. In fact, she was an ER nurse because she was an adrenaline junkie, and she just kind of liked it. And the doctor walked in and says, do you know what we're doing? She said, yes, I watched it last night. Any takers? Yeah. And some of us, we watch it and it soothes us. Some of us, we watch it and we go, oh. And then you read on down the line and said, this one failed and this is why it failed. And this person now walks with a limp. And this person, you know, we can read all the negative, but we've got to rein it in and subject it to the word of God. Imaginations will tell you that you are weak and powerless against the forces of evil in this present world. But the word of God, you rein that in. You walk out into the world and you see opposition and you say, I can't. And you see others that are sinning and you say, oh no, the world is going to hell in a handbasket. And you see the news and say, it is the end and I may as well just bury myself now alive. But John said in 1 John 4 and 3, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, and now already is in the world. So it was there in his days. But he said, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. When my imagination says evil will win, I bring it into control and I read 1 John and I say, no, God's winning. God has already won. His foot is already at the end. He who knows the end from the beginning has declared, greater is he that is in you. This is not just some imaginative outside force, but we have it. He's in you. And the imaginations will tell you that the miracles and great revival will not come, but it has already come. And Jesus declared to his disciples in John 14 and 12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do will he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And if you stand with me, we'll stop at page 14 instead of 21. But I think you're getting the idea, and I'll post these online so you can go back and read it and understand that we've got to captivate our imagination. I don't know what all happened here last Sunday morning, but the Holy Spirit was moving, right? Anything could have happened. You know what's really cool is to hear people testify about being healed and they don't know the moment they were healed. I think that's really cool. Because as you walk, you're healed. In fact, the Bible says this. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There's something about walking in the truth of the light of God's word together that brings cleansing. So when we get together, this is not a place of fear and condemnation. But the enemy will tell you that. I remember a lady coming next to her to pray for her, and I prayed for her, and she stopped and she looked at me and said, who told you? Did my mom tell you? There was another lady, and it was because her mom had asked us to go to her house to teach Bible studies, and we had taught several. Another lady, she came in and she said, did so-and-so tell you? Because her friend had invited her to church, but the Holy Ghost was speaking. And God is speaking into your life and your mind. And if there's some negative thought that's coming around that says, I can't, I won't, he can't forgive me, he'll never restore me, I wish to God that somehow that we could just have a movie play of where we were and where we are. Because if you could just see us where we were, it'd be unbelievable of where we are. I remember hearing the testimony of an individual in this church. And we were just talking about God's grace, and they said, oh yeah, so-and-so came up to me and said, oh, you wouldn't understand, you've been in the church all your life. But that individual was raised in a horrible home environment and got entrapped in the gangs and drugs and all kinds of illegal activities. But Jesus stepped into their life and delivered them. And now years later, people look at him and go, you wouldn't understand. Oh, you don't know where Jesus brought me from.
Amen.
I couldn't imagine forgiving or not being angry, but Jesus captured my imagination and I subjected it to the Word of God. And he has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power.
Amen.
And of love.
Amen.
And of a sound mind.
Amen.
One translation says, of clear thinking. And those of you that have struggled with anger, you know that's exactly what happens when you get angry. You don't even think right. It's just gone, baby. And your emotion takes over, and fact leaves. But oh, when Jesus comes in and the perfect love of the Holy Ghost saturates us, it pushes out fear. And that's the intention today, is that we would just come and say, God, 2020 is upon us. We're in it. And it's not what's on MSNBC or Fox News that matters. And it's not the way others live that is going to declare my future. But it's your word that declares my future. And I'm going to capture all my imagination. And I'm going to roll it all into a ball, and I'm going to submit it to your word, and I'm going to filter it all through your word. And if your word says yes and my imagination says no, then I go with yes. If my imagination says no, yes, and your word says no, then I go with no, because I'm subjecting all my imaginations to the word of God. And then one day, as we walk along this earthly path, we will be able to embrace and declare the word of God in 1 Corinthians 15 and 51, where Paul later writes, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed." He's talking about those that have died in Christ. "In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible," or without the ability to be polluted. "And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal, that which can die, must put on immortality." We can never die. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory." Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is your, or Hades, where is your victory? Victory. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that one day, if we walk along and we have continuously, repetitively, I didn't say flawlessly, but repetitively said, "God, my imagination's here and your word's here. I'm putting my imagination under this and I'm letting this live." We will be changed. And death will be swallowed up in victory, the ultimate victory. And so he writes in verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of God, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." It's worth it. Just keep pushing. Just keep surrendering. Just keep grabbing those imaginations and controlling them. Don't let fear control you. Submit it to the word of God. And fear, what do I need? I just need to get in the presence of God and let the Holy Ghost overwhelm me and submerge me again. And then there's love, and there's no room for fear when love saturates me. And when the word of God becomes my roadmap, there's no room for imagination, because the word of God is yes and amen to them that believe. And it's forever settled in the heavens. And it will never fade away. And so today, it is your choice and my choice to come and once again at this altar say, "God, I'm going to let my imagination go under your word. I'm going to imagine the victory. I'm going to imagine the triumph today. I'm going to imagine that overcoming spirit. I'm going to imagine overcoming that which has held me bound, because my imagination says I'm going back to the way it was. But your word says, I'm not going back to captivity, but I'm going on to victory." So as they begin to sing, I invite you to come and thank God for the deliverance that he has given you. I invite you to come to submit yourself to the word of God and the spirit of God, and let his Holy Spirit flow through.